One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And I'm talking to you right now with stuff in my mouth, because without it, I probably wouldn't be talking all that well. Oh, yes, cold season is still among us. Just when I thought it was gone, just when I thought, okay, I think I'm getting better. It's starting to get to be warmer months. I think I'm over that fun part of the year where I cough through half of the episode. I don't know. I think it's a cold. Could be allergies. Who the hell knows anymore? I've just kind of lost track. It's like this perpetual, you know, sickness for God knows how long. It kind of comes and kind of goes. So what I'm saying is I have a delicious Halls cough drop in my mouth. Honey lemon, if you care to know the flavor. I used to detest those ones when I was a kid, but now it's like, I don't care. It could taste like gravel, you know, mixed with a little bit of runover skunk, and I really wouldn't care if it makes me stop coughing. So anyway, I'm complaining right now because Jenny's not in here yet, so I can do all the talking about being sick that I want. She'll be here and joining us shortly. Like I said, 855-853-4802 is the phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. So there you go. Let's go to our first caller of the day. And here's some spooky stuff. Hi.
Hey, Brewskies. This is Troy again. I'm the person who can't talk about my brother and that had the story about the house that I dropped from my pool out. I have another story happening currently over the past couple of months. Start from the beginning. My wife started working at a school for troubled youth, I guess is the best way to put it. Really bad kids. Her class is like autistic children, just disabled children. Most of them are nonverbal. Well, when she started working there, I went to help her put together her classroom, and I had to go into a storage room and get out some tables and stuff. Well, I went in the room to get the tables, and on my way out, I could feel something behind me, and I turn around and look. Obviously, I was the only person there. So that was fine. So then I had to go back in there and get another table and some screws to put the legs on the table. And whenever I was walking out, I could feel something behind me again, and then I heard an audible breathing, like a sigh, like, and it was a deep, guttural sigh, like, it was not nice. So nothing happened after that, but fast forward to a couple months later, and she gets a new student who is, when I saw her, I could feel the dark energy pouring off of her. She's constantly drawing like these pictures of murdering people and like all this stuff, but she's autistic, so she can't really talk that great. So anyway, the point is that when that girl came into my wife's class, came into her life, I started feeling at home a slight increase of dark energy. So it ramped up and it ramped up and it ramped up. She's had this student for about 2 months now. And so recently, within the past couple of weeks, I have been feeling someone watching me in my house. Whenever I'm alone in the house, particularly, someone is definitely watching me. My children, who have not been afraid of the dark previously, are 7 and 5, and they will not cross the house at night. Their bedrooms are on the opposite side of the house from our bedroom. They will not cross the house at night. They're both suddenly afraid of the dark. And at night, if I wake up for some reason, then in the corner opposite from my position in the bed, I can feel the energy in the corner almost to the point to where I could see it if I just felt it a little bit harder, but I can't quite see it. And then if she's not in the bed for some reason, then I can feel that same feeling, not in the corner, but in the doorway, which is always open. So, like I said, like you can almost see it, but just not quite there. And so anyway, so a few days ago, I was sitting in the bed, and I was laying down. I wasn't feeling very good, so I was laying down, and then all of a sudden, a plop on the bed, and a gust of wind. And so I thought maybe she had come in the room and tossed something onto the bed. So I looked, nothing on the bed, wasn't there. She wasn't there. She was still at work, and no one was there. So yesterday, I was laying in the bed, and I was kind of relaxing, had my eyes closed, and then all of a sudden, I heard that same exhale that I heard in the storage room at her school. So I don't know if I'm psyching myself out or if something is attaching herself or attaching itself to her and coming into my house. So I'm thinking about smudging the house, but on a side story, I'm hesitant about smudging the house because there's always been a very positive energy in our house, and with no proof other than the kids not being afraid when it's clearly you can feel the presence in their rooms, that I am under the impression that it's Jose, her husband, to the point to where if I'm in the living room and the motion sensor lights up, then I will say, "Hey Jose, how's it going?" And then the motion sensor will stop. But so I'm hesitant to smudge just because I don't want to force out Jose, but also don't want people exhaling demonically in my ears. So if you could give me some advice, that'd be great. Thanks, Brewskis.
You don't want someone exhaling demonically in your ears. That's the way that everyone wants to wake up. In fact, that's a new Nature CD that's going to be coming to a Target near you. It's you know those ones where you press the button and it's like Whirlwind Piano. It's the soothing CDs, yeah. Demonic exhale. That would be great. Anyhow,
What my thought is on this, you know, we try to connect things in our minds as far as where things begin, where things end, when one thing happens over here, is it connected to this over there? I'm wondering how authentic that is with the student to what is going on in your home, if there is a connection there. Now, obviously, there does seem to be something there. I'd like to know what your wife thinks about this, considering she's the one who works there with the child at the school, if she feels that there's anything there, if she feels any sort of weird energy or anything that's out of the ordinary from what the norm of the job is, as to where she works and who she works with. That would be an interesting piece to this puzzle. I suppose, you know, if you're going to smudge, you do run the risk of pretty much wiping everything out. And you also run the risk of making some of these things worse, whereas, you were saying, Jose, there's fairly harmless. This sometimes you may end up, and we've heard of this before, you wipe out the good, but the bad is so strong that smudging ain't going to have an effect on it. It's just going to intensify things. So I'd be a little cautious about going down that road. I'd almost say, if you think there is a connection here between what's going on at the school and what's going on at your home, if you want to try and ride out the storm and wait till the school year ends, maybe this will change. Someone will change classrooms and see if anything ends. Although that may not be the case. That may not even be connected. It could be something completely different, and your mind is searching for what is the factor, what is the thing that changed at a certain point in time when this stuff happened. It's very hard to say, but I would like to know what your wife feels about this and what sort of vibe she's getting about the whole situation. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. John in Georgia, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Josh from Georgia. I've called a couple times already about the masquerade in Atlanta and about some stuff my grandparents told me. Anyways, me and my girlfriend had planned a trip to go to the Etowah Indian Mound, Cartersville, Georgia, because I've lived 20 minutes away my entire life. I've never been. A little bit of backstory, it's these ancient mounds that are built, the Mississippi Mound Builders, they started living there 1,000 years ago or so. They were ancestors to Cherokee Creek. They're still the early Native Americans. And pretty much these mounds are just, they've excavated like 10% of one of them as an artifact. But it's just pretty much go to an area where 1,000 years ago, this is exactly where they lived. The largest mound is where the head priest is said to have had his home. We were planning the trip and it brought up some memories of a story a coworker told me 2 years back about the experience he had out in that area. Now, this coworker, he's his late 40s, and he grew up in the area. He walked out his backyard, walked a few hundred feet, well, different yards rather, and could actually get to the Indian Mound. He was right there, almost on site. And he said there was a creek that ran out back, near the historical site that he used to love to play in. And he said at this point he was probably 5 or 6 years old, 7 years old, and he played there in the summer every day. Him and his friends would go out there and play. And he said sometimes his buddies would be kind of creeped out. They would always mess around about the ghosts of the Native Americans, being little boys. But he said this one particular day, he just ended up going out there on his own for whatever reason, nobody's time. And he was playing in the creek and going further and further, not really paying attention. Then he started thinking about his grandma would always tell him, don't go too far down the street. You don't mean to go too far down the street. But as I said, this little kid didn't mean anything. But he kept going and kept going. He said, and then he started feeling kind of uneasy. And he was like, all right, I guess I need to stop. I guess it was just this conscious that grandma told me not to go too far. I'm way further than I've ever been. So he decided he was going to turn around and just start heading back towards home, towards the area, and he was just blazing. He said, so that was it. He turned, and as he turned, up on the embankment, what the creek was, like a little ravine. And up on the embankment, there was a full body. It was a Native American. He said, you know, headdress. It was a Native American, obviously. And it was, he said it wasn't like a, you know, I thought that there was a man standing. He said, but the problem was, when I looked at him, I've never felt so much just horror and disgust. Like, I just felt like if this man stood, he would have came down there and killed me. He said, I stared at him for a minute, and he stared at me. He's like, he made no expression. He just had this stony look on his face. And all I felt was, get out, go, get away, now. Like, and I actually turned and vomited and then ran. Like, and I, as I was running, I looked back once, and he was still standing there. I looked back again, and he was totally gone. And he said that never before, never after did he ever see anything or hear anything. But he said in his entire life, and he's worked this place like you know, children's mental place for children, you know, purple teens, you know, preteen, so today, almost like juvenile detention centers, but not quite. He's worked a place about that with histories and, you know, a place with a lot of energy from the living. And he said, you know, throughout everything in his life, nothing has scared him as much as seeing that Native American standing on the bank up there. So we're going this weekend to check it out. I will be taking some videos and pictures. They actually have a 6 to 9 p.m. Torchlight tour of the mounds, the grounds, and the area around the grounds, and I'll be doing a blog. So I'll email that to you guys if you'd be interested in seeing it. Who knows? But there'll be more to come. We're going to the Indian Mounds, we'll do some Kennesaw Mountain battlefield stuff. It's getting that time of year that it's nice enough outside to go and look for some ghosties. Well, I guess I will let you guys go until next time. Appreciate what you do. It's nice riding around all day long listening to ghost stories. And maybe we'll hear the story. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for the call, Josh, and sharing their experience. Nothing like having your friend go, that was the scariest experience of my life. I just felt like it wanted me to get out of there, and I just should leave, and no one should go to be like, hey, let's go there this weekend.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. If you see something, you have to let us know, like, right away. Like, you have to call as it's happening.
Yeah. And then maybe we'll get some EVPs on the call as well.
Or some drums in the background or something.
Yeah, and all of a sudden the phone drops and you hear him scream and then no one knows where he's at. And all of a sudden somebody's connecting the dots going, oh my God, that's him. He called that ghost show. And that's the end of Josh. So hopefully it doesn't quite get that dramatic. But if something does happen, yeah, feel free to give us a buzz. If your phone battery isn't completely having the life sucked out of it.
Yeah.
Which that tends to happen too. So good luck. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller in Virginia. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Dan from Williamsburg, Virginia. I'd like to tell you a story about where I work. I work at the Ripley's, believe it or not, auditorium/museum in Williamsburg, Virginia. I started working there in August of 2015, and I'd like to report to you that the Ripley's location in Williamsburg, Virginia is indeed haunted. I have had several experiences there since I began. My first experience was in the Aztec room, which contains artifacts and exhibits that are related to Aztec culture. And I have had some very interesting experiences there involving a shrunken head, which I will call in and tell you about later. But right now, I'd like to tell you about an experience that I had tonight, actually. Tonight is March 25th, 2016, and this experience happened at around 8 or so p.m. I got off at 9 anyway. So I'd like to tell you about, you know, what exactly happened. I was doing a walkthrough, too, because I ran the 4D theater tonight, which, if you're interested, come on by. We'd love to have you. Anyway, I was working the 4D theater, and I decided I needed to do a walkthrough to gather people up for a show because we had no people, so I needed to collect people for the show. Anywho, I'm doing my walkthrough. I get to a room that we call the Crypt Room. As you can imagine, it's called the Crypt Room because it's got very creepy items related to death, including a witch's staff that is said to be cursed. And if you touch it, you will receive the witch's curse and your life will be turned completely upside down. Moving forward, I was in that room, And let me first tell you that there are no sound effects in the crypt. There are absolutely, it is dead silent in the crypt room when there is nobody there. The only sounds you can hear are tunnel vortex. The only sounds you hear are your footsteps on the carpet. And if you're lucky enough you to hear those, you might. But anyway, it's got a creepy vibe, but for one, it's a crypt room. It's designed to look scary and things like that. And it is very, it's an interesting place. So anyway, as I'm walking through, I hear what sounds like metal chains being dragged on the floor. And keep in mind, this floor is made of carpet. And it sounded like these chains were being dragged across a metal floor. And after that, actually prior to that, I heard what sounded like scratching and tapping on the wall. These walls are made of stone, which they are 100% real stone, to give the effect that you are in a real crypt, which the crypt was real at one time, I did find out. Therefore, I feel that that is the explanation for the activity that occurs there. That the crypt at Ripley, believe it or not, in Williamsburg, was at one time a crypt. It was not one for long, but it was a crypt at one time. Now, what I would like to tell you next was quite frightening to me, and it caused me to actually leave the crypt room quite quickly. What happened is I was walking through the crypt room after I had heard the scratching and the delightful noises that were not very unnerving, because I'm used to hearing them. I've had other experiences in the 4D theater, which didn't really seem to faze me, but this did. When I was walking, I heard a voice say clearly, "Ripley." This may sound odd to some of you. Some of you may not believe this, but that's okay. I know what I heard, and I will stand by it, regardless of any opinions. I heard a voice clearly say, "Ripley." And then I heard the voice say, "Chain." And I heard the word, "Me." And at that point, I quickly vacated the crypt room. Ripley chained me. Not quite sure what that means, but I'll figure it out and let you know what I find out. Alrighty, that is all I have for now about the Ripley's Museum in Williamsburg, Virginia. I will call back and share more with you. Have a wonderful and delightful day. I hope to hear this on the air. Again, this is Dan Cormany, representing the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Williamsburg, Virginia. Come on by if you're interested. Have a wonderful day.
Is that like a giant product placement, or without actually compensating us? Is that what that essentially just was?
I think it's fair game if it's a haunted museum.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe him. I think he has weird shit going on there. I also think he's like, hey, free publicity, which that's fine, you know, to a certain extent. So, have you ever been in one?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
I was at the one in Madison, Wisconsin. Not Madison. Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
Years ago, and I don't even remember what was in there. It was a lot of like, ooh, that's interesting. It's believe it or not, it's mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of interesting stuff. I after hearing that story, would you go visit one? Would you?
No, because I knew of others that were haunted as well.
We've gotten stories from non-employees before about these places, haven't we?
Yeah, and not just this location.
Yeah. Where, I mean, I imagine any place you have, you know, artifacts and things of that nature, and a museum in general,
mm-hmm.
Probably ripe for haunting.
Right.
So, there you go. That was an interesting one. I appreciate the story. 855-853-4802. If we're ever there, maybe he can give us a tour.
And I think that maybe the least that he could do, since he did just plug his museum to... How many thousands of listeners?
What would have been really interesting is if I like bleeped out the name or put a different name in there. That would have really annoyed him.
And believe it or not, in Branson, Missouri.
Exactly. He would be like, no, it's not mine. You know, I wonder if like if places like that have multiple locations, if there's ever like internal like competitions of like, if they have like, I don't know, like a yearly convention or something for all their employees of the country. And they all get together like, oh, yeah? Well, mine, this out. And like, it's just constantly one-upping the paranormal shit that goes on in their locations.
I don't know, but you know, I have to give him kudos for finding a good target market for that shit. So
I guess so. Yeah. There you go. Thank you for sharing. Tara, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Sarah. I called a little bit ago. I don't know if my story got played or not, but I'm just calling about an encounter that I had recently. I live right down the street from a abandoned psychiatric center, and it's just like right in the heart of Rochester, and it's kind of strange to me that like this building is like still, you know, just like right there and just completely, you can just go in whenever you want. I mean, you can't go in whenever you want, but you can go in literally if you wanted to. You could definitely go in, because I have been in there, and it's definitely really strange. I mean, it's blocked off, but like people, you know, like friends of mine have gone in there and just like explored the place. It's abandoned, so. But anyway, the story I'm calling you about is I was in there a couple of weeks ago, and I was on the second floor, and it's just like really bare, because everything that has that people have been there before, so they have looted the place, you know, like an old psychiatric place. So they've looted the place, and it's just like completely bare. But I was in there one night, and I was with my boyfriend and my friend, and we just felt like I all of a sudden like just felt this chill, like this complete chill, and it like went up my spine. So I was just like, oh, that's weird, and I'm feeling a little weird. I don't know if I want to like continue on doing it, because I felt really cold and really uncomfortable. So we were in there, and we're on the second floor, and we go in this room, and I see like splattered blood prints on the floor. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, this place has been abandoned forever, so I don't understand why that. I mean, I don't know how they cleaned it up at all, but like, this is really weird. Like, why do I feel this chill? And these like splattered blood prints are just like on the floor. So anyway, I'm like walking around this room, and there's just, it's just empty and it's bare, and there's just like random towels and sheets, and all of a sudden, out of the freaking blue, this towel just completely raises itself like really high and then comes down very quickly. It just like it raises itself so high so quickly and then just plummets so flat. And as I watched it, I was just kind of in awe, because I had never seen anything like that before. So I literally ran out of the room, just like, not screaming, but just like, oh my God, what the hell was that? Like, what the heck would make, you know, like, that happen? So I'm walking down the hallway looking for my boyfriend, and I'm thinking about this freaking towel thing just all of a sudden being up in the air and then down on the floor. Makes no complete sense. It makes no sense at all. So I'm walking in the hallway, and I find my boyfriend, and he just says, hey, what's going on? I'm just like, well, I just saw this towel just rise up on its own, and I had no idea what was going on. And I was just surprised that he hadn't had anything like that happen to him. But anyway, that was just a really weird experience for me. I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. You don't just see towels rise up out of nowhere. And yeah, I guess that's it, because we just left after that, and we just went back to my apartment and watched some Ghostbusters. But anyway, thank you for your show. I love you guys. I love your show. And maybe if I have some more supernatural experiences in the future, then I'll call back. I hope so. Thank you, guys. I appreciate everything you do, and have a great night. That's it. Bye.
It's almost like the ghost was trying to take on the most iconic look of a ghost.
Yeah.
It's like, let me do this, which is kind of interesting because, you know, that's how they are obviously represented in a lot of, you know, like movies, and they're like, oh, it's a ghost. It's
with the sheet, yeah, or the towel.
Exactly. So maybe one of them just finally went, you know what? No ghosts are ever doing this. Mm-hmm. They seem to think that that's what we look like. I'm going to do that. And being very unique in a very ironic way.
I could see you doing that.
I would. And then everybody like would totally assume it's just a person because that's what people do.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly they come over and they rip the sheet off going, hey, Larry, what are you doing? Then there's nothing there.
Yep.
Now that, or all of a sudden the cat just falls like to the ground. Like, how did the cat do that? It was like, it was really tall. And then, you know, because I'd be holding the cat and then I'd disappear and the cat would fall and it'd be very, very confusing. People think that the cat's haunted. No, the cat just happened to be there. I was just doing it to screw with you.
Good luck you catching a cat when you're a ghost.
I can't catch them when I'm alive.
No.
No. That could be difficult. I wonder if we can have, like, any sort of powers of, like, you know, the scent thing. You know, like, some people are like, oh, the ghost smelled like something. If I was a ghost...
Catnip
I
ghost?
I would smell like catnip.
Catnip ghost.
I would. That would be great. That would get you noticed. Like, why are all these cats, like, all staring at this? There's nothing there. And they're meowing, and they're, like, licking the air, and there's, you know,
I'd rather you be the pudding poltergeist than a catnip ghost.
That could be a whole bunch of ghosts. I wonder if you can change your scent up. It's like a cologne. It's like I do catnip and pudding
that smells like catnip, and then you squeeze a wishy whoopee cushion as you throw it.
Catnip pudding.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And it smells horrible.
You should try that sometime. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Jay from North Carolina. I actually called before about me and my friends at that haunted school in the middle of the woods. And I just got back from the graveyard, which I sent Tony a picture I took there of this thing. I don't know if it's a person or what, but the picture, like, it looked like this thing, like, hunched over, like, looking straight at me. But I don't believe he's used it yet in a seeing ghost episode, but maybe you'll see it one day. So this just happened. It's right now almost 2 a.m. on my end of the world, and I went back to the same graveyard with two of my friends tonight. And, you know, it's kind of chilly here tonight, so it was cold and creepy and just went. So we were walking around the same exact graveyard, and it's supposedly, from what I read, this Civil War era, you know, graveyard is when it kind of, you know, started and all that stuff. And I'm so shaken up by this. Wow. There's a section of the graveyard, like, if you, like, whenever you turn down the street to go on it, you're passing the graveyard, but if you go further down, you have to turn, like, make a right, and then there's a graveyard that sits in the back, like, and we've never been back there before. So we parked the car and we walked bypass the main graveyard, and we walked down this long, like, dirt road that led to this entirely different area of the graveyard, which none of us even knew was back there. And it was super creepy. There was no lights, nothing. It was just super creepy. So we're walking back there, and we're just, you know, walking and talking, and it's me and two of my friends, Courtney and Jacob. So I'm sitting down on one of the brick walls that surrounds a patch of tombstones. And I'm sitting there, and like I said, you had to walk up from the main road down a dirt road to get to where we were. So I'm sitting there and I start hearing this, like this really Civil War era marching band. And I was thinking to myself, okay, it's almost 2 a.m. It's a Thursday or Friday morning. There shouldn't be a band playing at this time of morning, you know? Like I'm trying to logically put together what's going on right now. So I'm sitting there and I keep hearing like these horns and drums and marching. And it was crystal clear, but it sounded like it was coming down that main road that we had to come up to get down to the graveyard that we were at. Like, I could have swore I heard them marching down that street. So my friend comes over, and he's like, Jay, I'm like, what? He's like, tell me you hear a marching band. I'm like, you hear it too? You know, we just had this moment. It was like, what the hell? So we run down the dirt road, and then we don't hear it no more. So we look at each other, and I'm like, dude, I know for a fact I just heard like this Civil War marching band coming down this road. So we go back up to our other friend, totally left her there. We felt so bad. But we went back to her, and she's like, where did you guys go? Jacob said, did you hear a marching band? She goes, what the hell? No. So we're looking at each other like, okay, we're not crazy here. So we decided, you know, just get ready to leave. And it happens a second time. So we stopped, like, we're like, hold on. And you could hear the marching. You could hear the drums and the tambourines and like the old Civil War music. And my friend Jessica, I mean Courtney, she goes, do you guys hear that? And we're like, now you hear it, you know? Like, I know we're not crazy. So we're steady walking down the dirt road to get back on the main street to get back to the car. And it's like the further we walked down the road, the further it seemed like the band was like going away. And eventually it just faded out. But when we were further away from it, it sounded like it was coming up the road. And it was like crystal clear. Like we were not, you know, going nuts. And I don't know if that was like just a wrinkle in time situation, and I'm guessing like that was a street that they had used, you know, during that time. You know, I guess I was like, I don't know if Civil War bands were played during like funerals or something, but I'm trying to think of a reason as to why that street, you know, like honed in on a Civil War band. And it was the most bizarre thing because I've never experienced that before. You know, it was just like, whoa, like I hear it, you hear it, you hear it, we all hear it. So it's there, you know. But super awkward, super weird, but super cool. And I tried to record it on my phone, but of course it didn't come back with anything. But yeah, so that's my story for the night. It's fairly short, but really cool, I think. But yeah, hopefully you check out that picture I sent you. I think it was back in January of whatever that thing was I took for episode of Seeing Ghost. And let me know what you think of it. And you guys are awesome. I check you guys out every single day. I have not missed a episode yet. And I'm EPP member, of course. So until next time, love you guys. Bye.
There you go. I hear it, you hear it, we all hear the ghost band.
And none of us are crazy.
Yeah. Though it's interesting, do you think that there's a reason why, in a case like that, it won't show up on the phone when he tried recording, other than the fact that most phones have really shitty microphones?
Maybe it was only meant for their ears.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, is it one of those things where it's directed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that there's, like, control
yeah.
from whatever it is that's, I don't know, it's just bizarre.
And that would be a very different sound than like a football game in the distance
yeah.
with a marching band.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah.
I like that one.
It's a creepy one. It's a very like non-threatening, but it's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it'd be threatening if suddenly you saw a large band of ghosts playing away. That'd be a little bizarre. I don't know, just that off in the distance thing. That was a good one. Please do resend that photo to me, though. I don't recall seeing that one. So if you would resend that, and if you have a ghost photo you'd like considered for seeing ghosts, you can email it as well. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. So this is my first time calling in, so forgive me if I'm a little bit awkward. So I wanted to kind of tell the story. It happened to my best friend. She works as a nanny, and one of the kids that she babysits has this imaginary friend named Larry, and he constantly talks about how they'll hang out and play together, and do all these things together, and she always thought it was just like a normal kid thing, like a normal imaginary friend. However, one of the days that she was babysitting them, some objects went flying off of the bathroom shelf and falling from the shelf inside of one of the showers, like shampoo bottles and those things. So she thought it was pretty weird, and she actually got so freaked out that she took the kids to the park away from the house. Now, a few days later, she was taking a picture with one of the kids, and the facial recognition thing on her phone tried to recognize a face that wasn't there. It was in a closet that was behind them, and when she took the picture, you can see the faint outline of a face on it. It looks like the face of an older man. And needless to say, she got out of the house again and called me to come over, because I've dealt with paranormal stuff in the past, and she thought I might know what to do. So I get over there, and we go into the house, and one of the bathroom doors was locked from the inside. Now, it wasn't locked with a deadbolt or with the door handle. It was locked because one of the drawers that was right next to the door had opened. So you couldn't open the door because it would get stuck on the drawer. So it was very, very weird, and you can kind of hear things falling or moving around inside. I have a lot of other stories that I might call in. You guys can feel free to use this on the show. So that's it for now.
Well, you can't lock a bathroom from the inside with nobody in it by closing the drawer in front of the door.
No.
That's not doable, because you can always, you know, turn the lock and then close the door behind you, because we have a 3-year-old that does that all the time.
Yeah.
But nobody can open that drawer from the inside when it's empty.
No, that's just bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, that really, you know, it's kind of one of the... Well, if this happened, it's probably a ghost that happened.
Now, I want to know how they fixed it.
Break the door down.
Really?
Chainsaw? I don't know. I mean, where would the hinges be?
Most of the time, the hinges are on the inside. Yeah, so if the door opens to the inside.
Window? Hope there's a window.
Oh, if there's a window, if sure. There's,
yeah. Let's see. I don't know. I'd love to hear how they actually did solve that problem. But interesting story nonetheless. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real experiences with us. Gary, hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Gary from Lawrence, Massachusetts. This is a weird story. I don't know how to go about it. I listen to your show about a year now. I'm an EPP, and it's kind of weird just talking to myself. But I'm a tow truck driver and a battery technician. I installed a battery on a car, and I got the call back the next day, the same address for the same car. I just installed the battery, and there's electricity in the battery. I'm sure of it. And the next day, the battery's completely drained, dead battery. The lady asked me, well, Gary, what's with these batteries? You're selling me a crap battery. And I checked the battery. Everything was fine. It's got electricity. It started up with no problem. But as I'm in the car, the locks on the doors keep locking and unlocking, locking and unlocking. And I asked the woman, I told her I had no idea what it could be. The battery's fine, but it was drained when I got here. And I know ghosts maybe, well, I don't know how you say it, they suck power from things that are around them. The woman had just told me that her husband had passed a couple weeks earlier and that he had bought the car. And she's all worried because she's got a doctor's appointment in an hour and this, that. And then we're walking out of the car's in the garage, by the way. We walk out of the garage. Her back is to the garage, so I see the rear end of the car. I'm facing the house in the garage. And every house with a garage has a fucking, what do you call it? A door that leads into the house. And as we're speaking about the car, she's telling me about her husband. The door cracks open like somebody's looking through it, and I tell her, I go, is that door opening? And as I say that, she turns around and she's looking at the door, and the door is still cracking and then slams shut. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's just my husband. And I started to freak out because the doors, the electricity, the lights, and the story she's telling me, I'm putting two and two together, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, there really is a ghost here. And so I go to the ghost, I go, you see, this is your wife. If you love her, why? You bought the car. How come you're sucking the energy out of it when she's got a doctor's appointment? Come on, man. Take care of her. Other than that, that's basically it. I hope this was interesting enough to put on your show. And I enjoy the show. Keep it up. And this is Gary from Massachusetts. Take it easy.
There you go. Stop sucking the battery out of the car. That's just obnoxious.
That's an interesting one where, you know, oftentimes we hear it about phones. We hear it about cameras. We hear it about, you know, regular household items.
Mm-hmm.
Not the cars.
No, not the cars.
Although, we have had somewhere like it's, you know, we're at this location, something happened, we turn the car, nothing, it wouldn't start.
Right.
But then it comes back.
Yeah. But, you know, in those situations, there's also the possibility that it was time for that battery to die.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, oh, got a new battery yesterday.
Sure. So. Sure. And I'm just thinking back to some of the days when I was younger and we'd wander around and look at, like, spooky places and stuff. A lot of the cars that I think we were driving around were probably prime candidates for their batteries to be randomly dying at almost any time.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a paranormal thing. It's
yeah.
more of a lack of income thing for keeping the battery going in half of our vehicles back then. Yeah, interesting story. Thank you for sharing that one with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. D writes in, hi.
Hi, my name is D, and I'm from Louisiana. And me and my mother, we always had an we never got along. But it always started from when I was a little girl, two or three. My earliest memories was when my father would go to work and all the older children went to school, that it would be a man when my mother would be sitting down drinking coffee. He would be at the coffee table drinking with her. He never said a word. When she was in the front room, the living room, listening to music, he listened to the music. He sat down. Sometimes she would sing with the music. Sometimes she would not. She would sit down or just look like something was on her mind. And when I would always see him, and coming from the South, when you seen grown people talking, you never talk, you never interfered, you never came into the room. And I never talked to him. He never talked to me. That's just the way we did it. And one day, I just asked her why he stopped coming by, and she was saying who. And I was like, the man, and I described him to her thoroughly. And come to find out, she was getting upset. She was like, there's no man coming to the house, and don't say it in front of your father. It will upset him. But I went ahead, and I kept questioning her, and the more I did, she was getting mad. And she was saying, don't do that. Why are you lying? Why are you lying? And she did not believe nothing I said, and I described him. And one day, it got to the point where my grandmother come over, and I told her about the man, and she told my mother point blank, that was your father. And she had me describe him to her. And after I did that, everything was all good. Bye-bye.
I think that would be alarming here. You tell that story to the dad, and the dad's like, who is coming by during the day?
That would go over well.
Right.
At least there was some, resolution to this with grandma.
Right.
Filling in the blanks, because otherwise, if that part of the story did not exist, I'd be like, your mom might just be telling you, making you think you're seeing a ghost when there's something else going on.
Yeah.
I guess that's a creative way of doing that. But the grandma kind of validating, oh, no, this is your grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, okay. So...
It's all good.
It is. That's interesting and creepy and funny all at the same time.
It is.
I like that. Thank you for sharing. Jessica in Pennsylvania. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Jessica. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I called before. I had a dream about basements. And I said I would call back with another story. And I wanted to share this quick one with you. I was listening to your show today and it made me remember. About 8 years ago, I was driving to a sci-fi convention in Maryland. I was still living in Maryland, excuse me, at the time, and I was about 2.5 hours away from my family, and I was driving back into town, and I was going to stop at my parents' house on the way, and my mom had just had knee surgery, and I wasn't going to do it. I was tired. I was low on gas. I just wanted to get to the hotel and get checked in and lay down, and something told me, you know, Jess, you need to go. You need to go. You need to go. It's your parents. You need to go right now. So I did. I went and I saw my parents. This was my birthday. I went, you know, and I stayed there for maybe like an hour, waited for my friends to get to the hotel. And then I drove on and, you know, everything was fine. The next day, I got a call early in the morning from my dad telling me that my mom was in a bad way and they were going to the hospital. By the time I got to the hospital, she was gone. She had died. And I can't help but think that something was telling me, you need to go and see your mother, because if you don't do this, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. I don't know if it was my grandmother or if it was my uncle or who it was, but somebody told me to go see my mother that day. And that's something that has always stuck with me, and I wanted to share that with you. I love your show. I just recently became an EPP, and I can't wait to start going through those episodes. I hope to hear this on the show one day. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. I'm so glad I found your podcast. And that's it. So have a great day. See you later. Bye.
Thank you for sharing the story and that experience with us, and for being an EPP. Yeah, that happens.
It does. And it could be, you know, somebody from the other side trying to nudge you to go, or mm-hmm. it could be just knowing and having a close bond with your mom and knowing that something's not right.
Yeah, it could be either or, and really either or, I think, fall into the paranormal, at least as far as we understand what's normal and not.
Yes.
World. So, interesting story. Very sorry to hear about what happened, obviously, but interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And just another one of those that just kind of validates some of those feelings sometimes when you're like, no, I really should do this. Although I have those feelings about everything where it's like, I got to do this. This, you know, then nothing happens whatsoever.
And our anxiety makes us wonder if these are really urges or if they're just,
it's just
an idea in our head.
Yeah. It's just for the folks who don't have that, they're like, they can really differentiate. I just think the world's going to end every day.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how that works. Ah, yes. Thank you for the call, and again, thank you for being an EPP. We do greatly appreciate that. If you're not an EPP yet, please consider signing up to be one. That's what keeps our show on the air. It's only $5 a month, or if you sign up for a full year, you get a month absolutely free. And Jenny will make you a quiche and mail it to you.
You're the cook of the family.
And it will be delicious. We can't overnight it or anything, so it'll probably be like 8 days old by the time it gets there. Has a lot of dairy in it, so it's questionable as to if you want to consume it at that point.
What could go wrong with that much egg set at room temperature for 8 days?
Okay, the quiche offer is off the table.
Yeah.
But you can enjoy a free month if you sign up for a full year of being an EPP.
Yep.
And you get all the ghost stories you want and just binge away. So check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. That's how all of that works. Someday we'll get the quiche situation figured out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.